If you have ever felt that your world has been rocked or wrecked by something that's happened along the journey through life, then you are in good company today with the disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus. Their whole world felt as though it was shattered that day. And they were grief-stricken, and they were, I think, traumatized, because only on the Friday before, they'd seen Jesus on the cross, and they knew that their friend and their teacher and their saviour, the Messiah that they thought he was, had died. And they were so sad that I think as they walked along that road, their heads were down. They weren't even able to look up. And they were walking away from the trauma, as we sometimes do when something very hard has happened to us. We try and hurry away from it and get away and leave it behind. And as they walked, they talked, like you do when you're trying to process hard things that are happening, trauma that is unfolding in your life. You need to talk about it. And that's what they were doing over and over about the things that had happened. And their hearts were heavy and their minds were numb and their issue was loss. And loss is a very human experience. It's part of our lives. We are almost always experiencing some loss or another in the various ways that it can happen. And for them, it wasn't just that they'd lost their beloved Jesus, but they'd also lost their hopes and their dreams for the future. And so that left them disorientated. The landscape of their lives was very hard to see the way through. And they walked away from it. And so if you are identifying with this because something has happened to you or something did happen to you and you're suddenly remembering it now, just be with it, because then we can be with this story and we can experience Jesus in it, not just then, but now and for the future, for healing for ourselves. Quietly, inexplicably and mysteriously, a stranger starts walking with them. And if you've ever been walking and you hear some footsteps behind you and you think, ah, somebody's coming, who's that, I wonder? And then they join you. But he joined them very quietly and he was listening to what they were saying. And he said to them, what are you talking about? And they were quite surprised because he was heading out of Jerusalem as they were. And they said, well, how can you be the only one in Jerusalem not to know what's been happening in the last few days? And it just makes me smile because Jesus was the only one who did know, actually. You know, he knew everything about what had happened and more than we know. He knew the depths and the layers of it. And he says to them, what things? It's just beautiful. He lets them tell him what's happened as if he doesn't know. And I think this is like prayer. This is prayer, and it's happening right there. He knows, but he wants them to tell him. He wants them to tell him in their own words. He wants to receive from them their heart, their grief, their loss. He's inviting them to tell him, how does it feel to you? And this is what he's like when he invites our prayers and receives them. He is he's listening to what he already knows, but he's in this depth of relationship with us where he's eagerly listening and taking in what we're saying. It's very, very beautiful, is this? Jesus wants to join you and me on the journey of our lives, the roadmap, that the part of which we're on at this time, and he wants to come alongside and say to us, so what things are happening with you? Tell me about it. And he wants to listen, and he wants to help us to understand. And I think that he joined them quite near Jerusalem. Their journey to Emmaus was going to take them, it was 7 miles. It was going to take them a while to do. Those of us who walk are totting this up in our heads. We're thinking, oh yeah, that's quite a distance, is that? I think he needed it to be, because when they told him what had happened, he then said, let me tell you about the scriptures. And he began to unpack the scriptures of the Old Testament, everything about him. He didn't still reveal himself. He didn't say, oh, by the way, it's me. He told them to look again at the scriptures that they knew and to be remembering what they'd learnt when they were young, and to be recalling to mind everything that had gone before. And so this all happened on the way to Emmaus, and there was quite a lot of scripture, quite a lot of prophecies about him that he probably reminded them of, and all on the way to this place called Emmaus, which is actually means hot spring or warm bath. And I'm thinking, oh wow, so they were going to this place where they were going to have a hot spring bath in the company of the Holy One, where the bubbling up of the hot spring of the water of eternal life was going to be their experience. They didn't know it yet, but they were heading for the hot spring. And that was him revealing more of himself. I love that too. And then they get there. They arrive at Emmaus, and it's nearly evening. And what does Jesus do? A very unexpected thing. Everything in this passage is unexpected. He goes as if to walk on. You don't do that. In that culture, when the light is fading, if you're at somebody's homestead and you've been walking with them, you go with them into their home and you stay the night. And people would never turn away a stranger at that time. They would always invite them in, but he goes to go on. What do you make of that? What do you think that's about? And I don't know. Well, one of the things I think it might be is that he wants to be invited. He doesn't just come into your home without you saying, please, could you come? He doesn't come into your heart without you saying, I want you. Come in. Please do. So he always wants to be invited, but he will not push his way in and say, I'm coming. Oh, by the way, I'm at yours tonight. No, that's not what he'll do. And so, of course, they invite him in because that's what you do. And then they're at the table. And if you have a guest at your table, then you will invite them to break the bread, because that's what guests did. And that was hospitality. And that was the moment when they recognized who he was. Not before, not in all that long conversation that had gone before, not then, but when he broke the bread. And I wonder if you have an inkling of why that might have been. And I also don't know the answer to that either. But what I think is, maybe, that when he broke the bread, it was so familiar. He'd broken the bread with them so many times before. And they maybe were looking at his hands and seeing how he took the bread and maybe held it up and asked God to bless it. And then he broke it and they'd seen it. And that was the moment. Or maybe they saw the wounds on his hands. And when he opened his hands to bless the bread, they saw, and what would you feel if you saw that? Your heart would do a leap or a sink or a something, a jump, wouldn't it? So he blesses the bread and he breaks it, and it's like a memory to them of the last time it happened at the Last Supper, when he said, "This is my body, and it will be broken for you." And then it's like everything fell into place just in the moment. And they recognized him. And guess what happened then? He disappears. What? Even before they can say, "Jesus, yes, it's you, isn't it?" He's not there. He's gone. And I am with that when we have taken Jesus into our homes, into our hearts, into our lives, that we perhaps do experience him in a very different way. I think he was within them then. Wasn't there to see. He was within their hearts, within their souls, within their minds, and within their very beings, these two lucky people and the others that were there in the house. And it may be that, but I think it sometimes happens in life that when Jesus has revealed himself to us, we think, "Yes, now I know you, now I've seen you, now I know where we are, I know what we're doing. Oh, wait. Oh, where are you now?" And he's not there. And we feel lost again. And what do? We look for him. And what did they do? They went back to Jerusalem. The very place that it was not safe to be, the very place that they'd run away from, the very place that had been their home with Jesus over the last little while, and they'd seen everything happen, but they'd run away from it, and they turned around and they went back. I think they ran. And I was asking Simon, because he's a runner and I'm not really, how long would it take to run 7 miles? And probably not more than about an hour. I think they ran it, even though they were tired, even though they perhaps hadn't eaten the rest of their dinner. They were hungry because they were thrilled and excited. And they knew it was true that he'd risen from the dead and he was with them. And they ran and they ran and they found their friends and they said, "Do you know what? We met Jesus and he broke bread with us." This is me making this up now. You know that, don't you? There'd also been some further experience of Jesus back in Jerusalem. But then what happened? We didn't read it today, but it's coming next. Jesus suddenly appeared again, right there and right then, with all of them. So beautiful, so beautiful. I feel like when those disciples went back to Jerusalem, they had hearts that not just burned within them, as mentioned in the passage, but hearts that were literally on fire with love and excitement and hopeful possibilities beginning to fall back into place in their hearts again. And I wonder if some of us can do with a bit of that heart fire today. And something of the sense of Jesus saying, "Do you know what? It's your heart I want to come into. It's your life. It's your home. And but I won't come uninvited. But if you open your heart a little wider, I can make myself a bit more at home there." And what would that be like? Something in this passage is about trusting him. Something in this passage is about watching for him, seeing where he is, noticing him. Something about receiving him. And something about loss and change and how he keeps us company in all the adventures of our lives. And on that note, nearly done now, but I actually think it's true for churches too, the lives of churches. There is always loss. There's always change. There's always the new. There's always what we have experienced and take with us into the future. But there's always, Jesus is always going on and taking us with him. So as we have our APCM today, let's be ever so sure that he's right in the midst of us as we walk on together. And he will reveal more of himself, and he will show us what to do and where to go and what to say. And he will, wherever he's able, get a little bit closer, a little bit deeper, a little bit more at home in our hearts and in our churches than he's ever been able to be before. Especially because of the cracks that there are, because of loss, change, or whatever it is that's difficult. Because that makes our hearts more expandable. That's what I think. Let's pray. Jesus, you are beyond words. We can't get our heads or our hearts around you. But when we know that you're close, we feel that burning and that burning heart thing. And we pray that if we're brave enough to do it, that all of us will open our hearts further to your presence, whatever that might mean for us and whatever it might mean for our churches. Amen.